We are going to be discussing the sugya of Ona'ah. Now, Ona'ah is a very challenging topic. I'm going to try to steer away from halacha l'maisa. We'll just touch upon some of the basics, again, an idea. You know, the Rambam has just one parak in the halacha of Ona'ah. It doesn't seem so complicated in the Rambam, but when you bring it really to real life commerce, it does get a bit challenging. So we're going to just touch upon three basic ideas of Ona'ah to get a certain understanding of it. And hopefully sometime in the future, maybe we'll give some shiurim on Hilchos Ona'ah. So the Gemara tells us on Kedushin Daf Mem Beis, Amun Aleph and Amun Beis, they discuss the idea of Shtus, that 1/6 of Ona'ah, the different halachas. So what does that mean? So the basics are that if it's the sale, if a person defrauds someone within 1/6 of the price, whether or not the mocher is getting the advantage or the lokeach in either direction. Either it's overcharging within 1/6 or it's undercharging within 1/6. That is a call that's pachas mishtus, that's permitted. Nothing happens. There's no halachic nafkamina. The sale goes through. There's no requirement to return any money. That's pachas mishtus. If it's an actual shtus, exactly 1/6 more than the price or 1/6 less than the price, that's also a good sale, but you have to return that 1/6 back in either direction, whether it's the mocher or the lokeach. And if it's above a shtus, so then we say to mekach tos, and the sale does not go through at all, you return it back. That's the basics of Ona'ah of a shtus.
And we're sure in the first one, less than 1/6, there's no halachic nafkamina.
Exactly.
We're going to discuss that.
Yeah, so then the Gemara says also when it comes to karka is not subject to Ona'ah. We'll discuss that a little bit. But even though there's no halachas of Ona'ah by karka, the Gemara does say when it comes to measuring, whether it's a linear or square foot, whatever type of weight, count, quantity, if it's a toast and it's something that should have an exact number, not a value, but a quantity, whether it's, again, square footage, weight, or number, then there would be Ona'ah even for what being off by 1 inch, off by 1 marble, off by 1 pound, let's say. So those are the three basic halachas we learned from the Gemara. We're going to analyze each of them, just very, very basics.
There has to be a full unit.
For the Ona. Yeah,
for quantities, there has to be a full unit. If it was half a pound off, in other words, it would not...
I don't think that makes a difference. I think if it's like half an inch, half a pound, I think it would all be the same.
Culture.
Yeah, I think so. Now, there's certain. Now, if it's like, you know, 1/100 of a pound, so then there's a certain point where we would be mochel. You know, at what point do you draw that line? If it's 1/1,000,000th of a pound off, obviously that's going to be, that will not be, you can't get so exact. Yeah, sure, last time same.
Sure.
Has to be sure, exactly. It certainly has to be a shavar pruta. So let's say it's more than a shavar pruta, but still you're buying huge steaks, you know, so being, you know, pound, so being off 1/100th of a pound will really be irrelevant, though it might be, it's very expensive type of meat, so it might still be worth more than a dollar. So still, I don't know where you draw that line, though, of course. I don't think it has to be whole numbers, but it doesn't have to be a 1/1,000th of a pound. Fine, so let's go through each of them. So the Ramban tells us that number one, Ramban writes that Shivandai hama'ane es chaveiro ledas over belaf. If someone willingly defrauds someone else, there's vadai in iser midiraisis. The way I understand the case is that if you're aware of the market value, you're aware of the prices that certain supermarket sells, and you could go to the other supermarket, and you choose to go to the more convenient supermarket, and it's more expensive, that's not called Ona'ah. You are aware of the price differences, and you decide to go to the more expensive because of convenience, because it's one-stop shopping, as opposed to going to the stop and shop and get this here and that. You want to go all to one kosher market. You're willing to pay the higher prices. That's not defrauding. My understanding of Ona'ah is, if you're talking to the guy one-on-one individually, you say, listen, the price, I'm telling you, the price is $5. Trust me, it's $5. The guy trusts you. You look like a neman. And then it turns out you go to the other guy, it's really worth $3. He overcharged you. That's the case. You're really tricking the guy. That's really defrauding. That's where the iser kicks in. Now, there's a certain, Gemara talks about, you have some time to go and check. If I, you know, a few days go by, I could have checked the other stores to see the price and I didn't come back to you, then that's going to be a mechila. But that initial sale, will I trick you and I tell you this is the market value when it's really not the market value? That, to my understanding, is when Ona'ah kicks in. So Ramban writes, there's vadai mana es chaver. A guy really defrauds his friend, ledas, willingly. He willingly overcharges the guy. That's an isidir isa. That's all. According to the Torah, there's no shtus, there's no lines, there's no measure. Even a kol shu of overpricing or underpricing, that's vadai, that's an iser. It's only the Chachamim, says the Ramban, that came along later, that the Chachamim were Mechadish. Let's now draw some lines here. And they created this shtus, this line of 1/6. They said 1/6 is really where the where there's a requirement to return. That even less than a shtus, there's an iser deraisa to defraud, but the Chachamim understood less than a shtus, the people are going to say that they're mochel. They're mochel on the thing. I'm okay. I'm not willing to. Okay, I'm annoyed the guy tricked me. But I want the object. I want the sale. I don't want to go back on the sale. So I'll let the sale go through. I'll be mochel on the iser he did. That's what the Ramban says.
Relevant, though, we spoke about a little bit that if it's a $1 million sale, a six is going to be different than a smaller sale.
In a chenami. But
it has to be an amount also.
No, the Ramban said that you view a percentage across the board. They were not mechalik. Also, they didn't probably have $1 million sales back then also. And they weren't selling. That's a karka. Karka is a different story, though.
No,
and also, goyim are a different story as well.
Even cattle. But, I mean, you know, if you have 100 cattle, 1/6 is a lot of cattle.
Right. Yeah, it's true. But we don't find any distinction about how much is being sold. 1/6, the shtus, is a din across the board. And again, there are
individuals irrelevant.
Which one?
An individual is irrelevant. So if someone is not personally not mochel, even for less than a sixth, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, so we'll get to that point later on. But if a person wants to, he's not mochel. We'll get to that sma in a few moments. But that's what Ramban says. It was the shear of shtus was a chiddush harabbanon, that they drew a line. They said less than a sixth, people with mochel let the sale go through, but they're not going to bore that.
Yeah. Point. We're talking about the sale of stam without any mefurish clauses to the contract. Right? If someone puts in a contract, I'm mochel even a fraction, a hairbreadth of overcharge, that's a mefurish. That would be a different deal.
If you write by contract that I'm selling only on the contingent that this is the actual market value, so in Echanami, I think, but we'll see. According to Sma, it's not so clear that that's the case, though.
No, when he puts into the contract the clause saying that he will not forgive anything over a penny of...
Right. So I don't know. I guess when we get to Sma, we'll see. We'll try to read his words, see if he would agree to that case or not. He says a person's mochel, he's batel... a daita to call them. It doesn't exist. It's less than a shtus, everyone's mocha. That's what the Sma says. We'll see in a moment.
I would have been stam.
Uh-huh.
A seller could put in the contract.
Yes, I don't know. We'll get to it. I guess we'll take a look, see the Sma, we'll read it carefully, see what he says. So the Ramban again says, let's read the Ramban inside, just to appreciate this, that the Rabboseinu chidshu, oh no, they're mechadish, tashlumim b'shtus hamekach, they're mechadish, of Ona, if it's a shtus, if it's six of a mekach, ubitul mekach b'yos mishus, and if it's more than a shtus, they said the sale won't go through. But on a deraisa level, there's no nafkaminas about money. There's an iser. The sale goes through. I willingly accepted the object, I willingly overpaid, and that sale goes through. It's just an iser. Chachamim added a monetary element to Ona to say that if it's less than a six, I'm mochel. If it's a sixth, you return the money to me. And if it's more than six, the entire mekach is bata, which is an interesting thing. So if I were categorizing, oh no, where would I place this? We discussed this on Sunday a little bit. Ribbis. Where would you place ribbis? Well, at first glance, you would place ribbis in Hilchos, in Shulchan Aruch. You place it in Choshe Mishpat, because ribbis is two people lending money with interest. It's a dinim amonis din. It's a Choshe Mishpat din. But where do you find it? Remember where we find it in Shulchan Aruch? It's in Yerodeah. Ribbis is viewed as an Issa. It's an Issa derais, even though it's between two parties. And it's related to money, it's a iser. And if a person wants to be mochel on the ribbis, it doesn't work, says the Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't work because it's an iser. It's not a mon- even though it does have to do, it's in the world of money, it's not a monetary iser. It's a iser across the board, gezer sakas. So according to the Torah, the Ona is really an iser. There's no monetary connection to this at all. It really should be Hilchas Yerdeya. It's only the Chacham that came along and added these levels of mamonis shtus to these halachas. But in the end
so
of the day,
the same question here.
Yeah, we do place Ona is found in Choshe Mishpat in the end of the day. That's where it is found. And because the Chacham had created these monetary levels, so now, after all the dust has settled, it is viewed as a monetary halacha. But midaraisa, it seems like it's an absolute isidaraisa, nothing to do with any monetary nafkaminas.
Does this Ona's Devarim come from the same Pasuk?
No, there's a different Pasuk, but there is a connection. The Rambam does connect the two of them. He puts in the same set of halachas on Ona's Devarim, and the Gemara's Bam Mitzir also connect them. But that would be a good model. Onas dvarim, when you just insult a person.
It's a religious issue more than a civil issue.
Yeah, it's not nothing to do with it. There's no money involved in onas dvarim. You talk to a person, you say, remember how you used to be? That's onas dvarim. You say to a ger, you say to a bal tshuva, these are onas dvarim. So it's purely an iser. So out of that idea of onas dvarim is just purely an iser, so to onas mamon, which seemingly also be purely an iser, nothing to do with mamon.
But Jews, we want to always do what's tov and yashar, what's straight. So if it's wrong, it's wrong.
Correct, exactly. So the Sefer Chinuch argues now. The Sefer Chinuch number 2 writes that I agree on a deraisa level, any onos dvarim, rather onos mamon, any defrauding, overcharging would be an iser. But he writes, what was the chiddush of the chachamim? Aval pepachos mishtus, less than a sixth, within that sixth, within that market value, within that range of the market value, Hatiru zechronon levracha, that's the chachamim, permitted listacher, litager, that the merchant could gain additional revenue, mipnei tikun ha'yishuv, shiyimsu bnei adam tzarchayim meuchanim v'chol makom. That's how commerce works. You overcharge a little bit here or there, a couple cents here, there's always a margin. We're not talking about margins here. If I buy something at cost, $2, I sell it at $10, that's okay, as long as the market value is $10. So everyone's making the same margin. That's permitted. You could, there's cost and there's margin and there's the revenue. We're talking about you go above everyone else's market value and you trick the guy, you don't tell him that you're overcharging him. That's what we're talking about. Oh no. So in this case, Sefer Chinuch says you have that wiggle room as a merchant, as a seller, you have that ability to go above the $10 market value, to go a couple cents above that, within a sixth, within a just, that's a mutter. While the Ramban says, I agree that sale will go through, but there's an iser to do that. To sell for $10.30, the Ramban says is usser, but there's no monetary payment for that. And the Chinuch says no, that the rabbis permitted us lichachila to overcharge, charge you $10.20 within that shtus range. That's a mutter lichachila for the Chinuch, while the Ramban thought it's an iser midirabanan to do that.
And it's not considered over. I can factor in the fact that I spent more advertising than you did. My cost turns out to be higher because I branded mine.
Yeah, it's a very good question. I don't know for sure. I imagine that just because you put more cost into it doesn't mean you could change the market value, because then the buyer, the lokeach, is at a loss right now.
But that's how it's done.
No, so
the only reason why
you have to be clear here
Ralph
that
Lauren's thing is
right.
More is because of his
no, but defrauding is when the guy doesn't know. You could charge whatever you want as long as he's aware what your price is versus the other person's price. He could decide to go to the lesser or the more expensive one. But to tell the guy that this is the market value and it's really not the market value, that's where defrauding comes in. I have the option of going to different stores and get milk here, get milk there. I choose to go the upper higher price.
You see, this is our price. But if you wanted to go shopping and look,
that's permitted. To my understanding of Onah, which again, it's not a clear understanding. I've never learned these halachas well. I think that's permitted. If you have, here's the price tag. You could go here, you could go there. Your choice is fine. If I tell you, listen, there's no point in going there. He's going to charge you the same price. Just buy with me. And then it's not true. That is where you're really tricking the guy. But if everything's out there, so then that's a different story. So I think that's the difference here. Okay. Now, the Rush takes this idea and he says, just the same point, just says it very nicely, that in such a chakira, is the iser onah one having to do with mechila? Is it bein adam lemach, l'chaver rather? Mm-hmm. And therefore the guy's mocha or not being mochel? Or it's really part of the cheft, so that's part of the price? That's the question, like the Sefer Chinuch. The Sefer Chinuch says it's part of that price. You have a certain range. You could expand the price, less or more or less. That's all part of the price. It's a focus on the chefza. Or, again, it's, oh no, I'm tricking the individual, and it's talay on a mechila. That's how the Rush lays out this chakira of why a shtus, within a shtus, is considered a good sale. Is it talay on mechila, or is it talay on that range of the price range? That's the question. So now the big nafkamina is, look at how the Shulchan Aruch pasks, and then we'll see a nafkamina, can a person refuse to be mochel or not? So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch, what he writes in number 4. Number 4, the Shulchan Aruch says that yesh l'estapik, there's room to be mistapik, there's doubt. Im mutter lahonos es chaveru bepachas mishtus. Is it permitted l'chachila to overcharge someone? Im yesh bona shavapruta. If it's less than a shavapruta, which is Shavar Pruta is around a penny or two. 1 or 2 cents is the definition of shaprutah. If it's less than that, 1 or 2 cents off, there's no concern, according to everyone. If it's above a penny or two off, then that's the shaila here. It's within a six. So, the market value is $5. I'm charging you $5.20. So that's less than, it's not a good example. Let's do $6. Let's do $6, and I'm charging you $6, and it's a good example. Fine. $5.20. Fine. The five, right. $6.20. $6 is the price. I'm selling you $6.20. That's within a shtus. So that's permitted. That's a good sale. Ramban says that's aser to do that, and Chinuch says it's mutter to do that. Mm-hmm. So Shulchan Aruch says he's not really sure how to do a paskin. He's not sure to paskin in that case. That's what he writes. So therefore, one should be machmir and not overcharge, even if it's less than a shtus, to be choshesh for shitas Ramban.
And Chinuch says in that case it's
aser. Chinuch says it's completely mutter in that case. Mutter. Completely mutter. Ramban says, even though it's less than a shtus, it's still an issim or derabanan to do that. So the Sma writes in number 5 at the end.
Derisa? I thought you said absolutely derisa. I'm confused.
You're probably right. I think you're right. I think issa derisa. I think they said you're right. It's issa derisa across the board. Chacham simply said, if it's less than a shtus, the sale goes through, though. Very good. The Chinuch says, no, Chacham said the issa derisa doesn't exist if it's less than a shtus. Issa derisa only begins above a shtus. That's what the Sefer Chinuch says.
So what, the Torah had an issur deraisa without a shear, and the Chachamim gave the deraisa a shear?
Yeah, so you have to, there's a good question, how do you understand this? So it could be, we discussed this earlier in the week, about Chol HaMoed, where it's a issur deraisa of Chol HaMoed, but the different parameters, the Chachamim decided, davar ha'avid, different heterim, it's permitted davar avid, you could do mlachad Chol HaMoed davar avid, or it's tzarech ha'moed, or it's tafsid mamon. Chacham defined the parameters of the Isser Malach of Chol HaMoed. Here too as well. Isser Ona exists. What are the parameters? So that was up to the Chacham to decide where to draw those lines. So that's one way to explain it. That they decide what the issue.
Torah says, whenever I leave the details open, it's just Lo Sassur.
Exactly. It could be that.
How was the sixth chosen?
That's how they understood, at least according to the Chinuch, that's how the commerce works. People always work within a sixth. That's their understanding. There is a shita in the Mishnah in Bar Metzia, in Hakasev, Hazav rather, that says a shlish is the shear of Ona, which is made that the sellers are very happy. They have a third to work with now. That's another, remember that?
Yeah,
so that's a machlokas, what the shear. So the Gemara doesn't bring any sources, but it must be how they understood how commerce worked. Within a sixth was considered a normal range to change the price a little bit. So that was okay. So now the Sma writes in the number 5, the way he formulates it is a little bit challenging. He did like a double negative here. So look at the Sma at the end, number 5. Mikol makom, nira de'ein halokeach yachal omar, the lokeach, the buyer, cannot say, af shu dain muchsak b'dimei ha'kinia, even though he's still holding the money. He's buying, I don't know, what's a good example? He's buying milk, okay? He's buying milk for $5. He's charging $5 for milk. So he's still holding on to the money, and they're charging him $5 now for the milk. He can't say, "Ani lo emchal bepachos mishtus shonasi." I am not going. I know the next grocery store is selling me for $3. I now know you're charging me $5. You're tricking me. He can't say, "I'm not mochal. I want my full, but the actual market value." He doesn't have that right to do that. He can't say, "I'm not being mochal," because according to we said, how does pachos mishtus within that sixth range? How does that work? So the Sma assumes it works because I'm mochel. I'm okay to pay this six over. I'm okay with that. So he can't say, I'm not mochel though. He can't be machmir on that. Ela shebatla daita etel rubo dalma. His das is considered nullified and canceled. We don't acknowledge him with respect to the rest of the world.
Sixth.
Exactly. Shiragila limchol motim yado. We force him to pay. He bought the milk. He drank the milk. He owes money. He can't go back to the guy. He says, I'm not paying you that full $5 for the milk. I'm paying you $3. He doesn't have that right. If it, $3 and $5 is not a good example, but say $5 and $5, $5, $5.20, let's say. So he says that's within the market range. It's within the six. Your mechila doesn't work. So if you assume, that was your question, if you assume that the pachas mishtus works is because I, as the buyer, I'm the consumer, I'm mochel, so maybe if I'm not mochel, you should pay me the 20 cents back? Says the Sma, no, we made a din across the board. There's an implicit mechila. Most people are mochel. There's certain individuals who are makbin in a few cents. We ignore you. But it's still taller in mechila, but there is no real nafkamina. If you assume, though, that it's taller, the reason why pachas mishtus works is because that's part of the market value of a when you have a market value, it's never exact. know, it's not always $10. It's $10 and you're off a few cents here and there. That's within the six. It's part of that market value. Then there's nothing to talk about. The fact that I'm not mocha doesn't make any difference.
I still can't believe you can't go on an amount. The guys are willing to receive a sixth on a certain amount. When the numbers get bigger, a sixth is a lot of money.
It could be true, but I haven't seen it yet. But I haven't seen enough. I actually wanted to pick up. They have Rabbi Bodner has halachas of other people's money. You ever see that, one of those English books? Those black books he has in Hilchos Brachos and has in Hilchos Refuah. All these black Rabbi Bodner. So I wanted to get halachas of other people's money to get a little bit more familiar myself with some
other
of these concepts.
Money, that's the title?
Yeah, that's the title. So, but it doesn't exist. It's out of print.
You know, people may obviously make a living on percentage points on big amounts of
For sure.
That's how they make their living.
Yeah, for sure.
What's it called? The commodity trading and stuff like that.
Okay, fine.
Pork sellers.
So anyway, so let's go further now. So again, if it's about the Mekach, again the price range that the Sefer Chinuch says within a sixth is considered the market value, so then there's nothing to talk about. The fact that one guy's makbid, he's not willing to overpay, it doesn't make a difference. The Chetz is worth $10 within a sixth. That's the worth, and you're willing to accept that. The only Havamina is, if it's Talia and Mechila, that most people are Mochel within the Shtus, so then there's room to say, but if this consumer isn't Mochel, so maybe then he should have the rights to the extra money. Sama says, no, across the board, his mechila, we don't acknowledge. So now Yossi was suggesting, what about if there's a shtar? Let's say I write up a document. I write a very explicit document that I'm only buying this milk on condition that you don't overpay me even one penny. Will that case work? So reading the Sama, it sounds like Batla Daitel Eitzel Kol Adam. It sounds like his mechila won't be effective, but at the same time, a shtar has a very, very big impact.
I read the Sama like this.
Okay.
The sale of any occurred. Mm-hmm. And it just happens to be that the Lekeh still hold on to the money. And then he's saying, oh, I found out that you overcharged me, and I want to give you now the purchase price less of that. I know. He can't do that because what's the right day to call them? But if prior to the sale taking place, there was a written document, that would be a different story.
I hear that. This case is where the sale took place. But what if the sale didn't take place? And we agreed upon something beforehand. I hear
that from the Rosh. If you look at the Rosh, two lines at the bottom of the form, which speaks about it, would make the difference if one of them is an expert, right?
Mm-hmm.
Either Lekeh is a tiger bucky, and then it says, in Loishi Yafarish.
Okay, I hear. So it sounds like I think you're right. Again, I don't know Halacha Maisa. I didn't come across it, but I think your Dik and the Rosh and the Sma seem correct. If you agree to something, to a sale, even without a document for that, even without a shtar, if you and I agree that we're making a price, that you don't overcharge me even for a little bit, then seemingly that would, you have to keep your terms. That's what it sounds like to me. I think a very good point.
So it's the same thing if the shtar is mefarish that mochel on even over a shtus.
Ah, so that doesn't work. It depends how you formulate it. That's the Gemara in the beginning of Makos that talks about al tanai she'ein bo'ona or al tanai she'ein alav ona. I want to make an agreement that Ona doesn't exist. So the Gemara says, if I say Ona doesn't exist, that's not true. Ona does exist. If you say that you have no Ona on me personally, then that actually will work. So it sounds like you can make it. So I guess if you can make it tonight.
The lawyers will put that in every boilerplate.
Right. Right. So you're right. So if a shtar works to allow overcharging a six, so certainly a shtar should work for a guy who's mocked the other direction. I don't want to be overcharged even a penny. So I think what you're both saying seems to be correct. That's why it's important that I recently called someone about a Shailin Ribbis, a well-known Rav about Ribbis. And he says to me, in writing a Heter Iska, whether there's need for Heter Iska. So to me, the case seemed, I don't know anything about this stuff, but it seems so obvious that this case did not require Heter Iska. Heter Iska, we'll discuss that in the Ribbis Shears on Sunday in a few weeks. So I thought it was obvious. So I was calling the Rav just to confirm that was correct, because I never did such a discussion. So you need to speak to a lawyer and a rabbi. I'm not a lawyer, he said. You need to have a lawyer and a rabbi because some of these halachas, you have to be aware of the legal agreements and the contracts. So here too as well, just because you can learn and you're a rabbi doesn't mean you know the business side of things. So that's why it's very important when you learn the halachas of Ona, you have to discuss with people who know what business is like and what accounting is like and what lawyers are like, because you don't know what real life things are.
In secular law, whenever there's any law that comes out, like a new court case that like shakes everything up, changes the way everything is done. So it always becomes completely irrelevant almost immediately afterwards, because everybody sees the court case, And so then they just draft around it.
Uh-huh.
Like they just draft all the contracts around it, and everybody does that. So whatever, like every time there's a law, like it just never makes a difference afterwards because then everybody just drafts around it the next day. And then, okay, then that type of thing happens periodically. But,
interesting.
So like, you know, this whole idea of a shtus, like...
You could circumvent it easily.
Like immediately, once Shiafarish is a way around it, then
right.
They'll always, you know...
Uh-huh.
You know,
you mean just write it into the contract.
Exactly.
Savvy business people will just... Everyone will just draft around it. And then
I got you.
Interesting.
Okay, but I guess...
It becomes like it almost takes away the whole idea.
Exactly. But it does come up. But no, it does come up. Because I recently had a shayla. Someone asked me. I mentioned
they
this.
They won't say because I'll tie the shtus.
Yeah, but not every sale goes with the contract, though. So I had a friend of mine who bought a house from someone. And the seller... There's a piano. He didn't want to take the piano. They're moving to an apartment. So they're willing to sell a piano. It wasn't in the contract. They said between the two parties, I'll sell it to you for a few hundred dollars. So he bought it for a few hundred dollars. And then my friend got it tuned. And the dad's like, this is a serious piano you got here. It's an antique here. It's worth a few $1,000. So he asked me, does he have to now tell the initial seller that it was worth more than he had paid for it? So I didn't know the answer to the shayla. I asked someone else, and this Rav didn't know the answer to the shayla either. So finally got to someone else, and they said that, no, it's a good sale. And the reason why it's a good sale is something we're not talking about today, but when a person makes a sale or a purchase, either direction the lokeach or the mocher, and he has a few days to go, did he really pay the right price for it? Did he really sell for the right price? And he didn't look into it after a few days, he's mocher b'davar. Even though it might be overcharged or undercharged, underpriced a lot, if a few days pass and he didn't look into it, he didn't care, that's an implicit...
Like
yeah, exactly. He's miyayish. He's miyayish. He doesn't really care for it. So therefore, this sale was considered a good sale, even though he got a great deal out of this. So there are some cases where no, it does still come up. When lawyers are not involved, there are going to be individual contract or at least transactions. Fine. Let's look at the Treatise HaRambam now. The Rambam writes... in number 6 in Hilchos Mechira, that's where you find halachos of Ona, Hilchos Mechira. So in Perek Yud Beis, which is dedicated to Hilchos Ona, the Rambam writes explaining why Pachos Mishtus is a good sale. It's not Ona, because Akol Limchobo, Derech Akol Limchobo. Everybody is mochel if it's less than a sixth of the actual market value. But then the Rambam in Hilchos Geneva, it's not talking about Geneva here, but it's found in Geneva. He writes. It's referring to when coins, they used to have the coins would shave off over time, they'd chip a little bit and get smaller and smaller than the actual weight. Back then, even in America, earlier in the 19th century, the weight was significant. Nowadays, it just represents something else. So certainly, hundreds of years ago, the weight was very, very important. So now, after time, it gets less than the initial weight it was supposed to be worth. So if it's less than the shtus, within the sixth of the initial weight, it says it's a half a pound. And over time, it becomes a quarter of a pound. That's not a good ratio, but you get the point. It gets a sixth less than the half a pound that was once worth. So then the Rambam writes, Mochlin bo rov adam. Most people are mochel if it's within a sixth of the initial weight of that coin. So the Evan Ezel...
Specifically coins?
So that's what the Evan Ezel says.
Specifically coins.
So right now we have a contradiction between one place the Rambam says, Hakol, everyone's mochel by shtus. And later on he writes, Rov, most people are. Well, is it a kol or is it Rov? Which one is it? So you could say Rubo Kakulo. But the Evan Ezel is Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer. That's what Evan Ezel. Ezel is, Alf Zion is Isser Zalman. That's what Ezel. So Evan Ezel, Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, so he discusses this contradiction of the Rambam. And he writes what you were just suggesting, that the difference is as follows. When it comes to Bidi Eved, everyone agrees, after sale goes through, if it's less than a shtus, no one's asking for his few dollars back. You feel like an idiot going back, less than a shtus. You know, you overpriced me a few dollars here. No one's going to go back. Hakol mochel bo. Everyone's a mochel after the sale goes through. But lichatchila, are you able to overcharge lichatchila? So Evan Ezel says it depends on whether hakol mochel bo or whether rov mochel bo. So after the sale goes through, he says hakol, everyone's mochel afterwards. When the Rambam says rov mochel bo is referring to lichatchila, can I overcharge lichatchila? Most people are mochel, so maybe I'm allowed to. So the Rambam says depends on what you're selling. If you're selling coins, so there it's safe to assume that the rov, people are accepting coins less than a shtus, because that's how currency works. People are not as machpid on that. So even lichatchila, you can rely on that rov that they're going to accept the sale. Lichatchila, you could overcharge within a six. When it comes to selling an object, pots, pans, clothing, whatever it might be, So then, lichachilu, you have to be concerned that maybe this person is one of those who is mochel, who will rather not, will not be mochel. He's part of that mi, that minority that's not mochel. And lichachilu, you shouldn't sell. You shouldn't overcharge objects. Overcharging money, lichachilu, is permitted. You could assume he's part of the rove. Overcharging objects, you can assume that he might be part of that minority. And that's how the Ibn Ezra explains the differences between the Rambam.
And the Chafetz Chaim is going to look at this person like they have two heads. No?
Why?
He would say it's never.
It's never.
He's always checking his scales. He's always being very machmir.
No, but this is not scales. This is different. This is scale. Scale is a different story. Scale
we're talking about weights and measures.
No, we're not. No. Not the weight to measure. No, not at all. We're talking about there's a value. I'm selling an object for a value. I'm not weighing it. I'm not measuring it. I'm selling about weight to measure the whole.
Talking about
weight to measure is a whole other discussion. Yeah.
Because you're saying with a coin, we're not worried about weights and measures because it represents money.
Yeah, I'm not weighing it. I see the coin; it's shaved off a little bit. So I'm not.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't become weights and measures.
Exactly. Okay. So that's the first half about pachos mishtus. Of selling objects, metaltim, either it's because pachas mishtus is part of the range, part of that price, or because people are either rov or kol, hakol mochabo. That was the first discussion. The next two we're going to go through quickly is karka. Our Gemara said that our whole discussion of pachas mishtus only applies to metaltim. When it comes to karka, the Gemara says, ein ona lekarka. So when it comes to real estate, there is no ona. It's what you create the market value. When it comes to assessing a person's property, tax assessments, so it goes based on the, how do you get the market value? Well, the one way is you look at similar houses in the area, in the vicinity, and you measure how many bathrooms versus bedrooms and the size. That's how you do one way. But also, if there's a recent sale, so that recent sale becomes the market value of that house, and that's being viewed as the tax assessment. That's how it works here.
Wait a minute. There's two different things. There's land, and then there's the house on the land.
All that's taken into account.
When
you take into the tax assessment for the house, it's the size of the property, it's the house itself, it's the rooms, it's the bathrooms, it's the how new it is. All that's taken into account. So the one way, if there's no history, so then, or there's an old history, so then you would compare it to similar houses in that area.
We have two houses right in the next door to each other in the same neighborhood. One has good plumbing and one has bad plumbing.
That they can't see, though.
And this guy moves in, and the plumbing turns out it doesn't work, and the electricity doesn't work, and he says, I overpaid for this house. This house next door has the same value, but it's perfect plumbing. You rip me off.
So
he has no say.
It's fine. When it comes,
this is a
karka. Yeah, so when it comes, exactly. When it comes
karka,
to the land.
No,
that's karka. When it comes to property, houses on property, mechubar lekarka, all that is considered a land. So what becomes market value, whatever you pay for it, that's the market value. So that's how, again, that's how tax assessments use it, tax assessors, that whatever is paid for that house, so now that's going to be the newest to tax assessment. So too when it comes to halacha, there's no ona to karka. Whatever you pay for it, that becomes the market value. There's no previous market value. We don't look at the other houses around it. Ain ona la karka. Now, that's a simple reading of the Gemara. But there's a long tosis which we're not going to go through, which says it's not so clear. It's not so clear that there is no ona la karka. So that's based on the Gemara in Bava Metzia number 9. Gemara Bava Metzia number 9 tells us, this is not in Daphne and Zion Amr Aleph, the Gemara says, ona ein lahem, bebitul mekach yeshlem. There is no ona, but there is such a concept as a bittul mechach, that the sale can be nullified. How so? So Rashi, in reading this Gemara number 10, says, bittul mechach yosem ishtus. If it's more than a shtus, if you overcharge the guy for your property more than a sixth of the market value, there will be a bittul mechach. It does exist. So what does it mean, oh no? So Rashi says further on in this Mar Malkum here, v'halab b'cha onahu ela mechach tosu. It's not oh no, there's no iser. It's just a mekach tos. It just gets canceled. A person buys an object, and the object is broken, and you didn't know that. It's a mekach tos. The guy wasn't over ona. The sale is canceled, and you return the broken object, and you get your money back. So too, says Rashi, explain the Gemara here, there's no iser ona when it comes to karka. For whatever reason, the Gemara explains the psukim, ona only applies to metaltlin. If I overcharge a land to you, there's no iser, but at the same time, the sale doesn't go through. Exactly. Yeah. The positive is yad li yad. Metaltlin is subject to ona. Kark, if I sell you my house $500,000, I sell it to you for $1 million, there's no ona. But at the same time, the sale doesn't go through. If you complain, say, wait a second, this house is worth half that price. There's bitul mekach, there's no iser, and there's no sale. That's all. That's what it means, ain't no no. There's no iser, but certainly there will be a bitul mekach if, according to Rashi, Rashi says bitul mekach, when does bitul mekach kick in? When it's above a sixth, there's a bitul mekach, the real estate sale doesn't go through.
So
that's Shita's Rashi.
I described, it could be proven to bitul the sale.
Yeah, according to Rashi, understand the Gemara exactly. If it's above a sixth of the market value, then there wouldn't be an iser, but again, the sale would be canceled. But the Rif argues. So if you look at number 11 on page number 3, the Rif argues, and he says, he explains the Gemara differently. I don't want to get involved in how to read the Gemara about Metziah, but the Rif Paskin's bottom line, number 11, Ein ono lekarkos klal ever vafilu shavameya b'masayim. You pay half, double the price. You pay double the price. Even then, ono will not kick in, and neither will bitul mekach kick in. There will never be an issue. You sell whatever real estate you're willing to pay for real estate. That's how much. That's the market value.
He's not talking about stam land, and when there's something that has. Could be evaluated on top of it. It's a different case.
I think that's the understanding. That's how they understand it.
It makes sense with land.
Yeah,
but you're talking about physical stuff that's
I understand.
On the land.
But the understanding
really. Just ignore it.
You have to look at the sugyas and babasa. Mocher's a bias. It's a parak called Mocher's a bias when you sell a house. They talk about all that which comes along with it. It's very important for real estate contracts. A house is part of the karka. Is it built-in part of the karka? Is it oven part of the karka? They talk about all these different deedim. Anything that's attached to the ground that's really, really heavy, that's part of the sale of property and would be subject to the same halachas of
it's
karka.
Not fair. There are people who are bucky. Unless you're obligated to get an engineer.
Yeah. Okay.
Because not everybody's such a bucky in the...
Fine. Let's do this Ramban now. We're running out of time. Ramban writes that. So right now, Rashi says more than a shtus is a bitul mekach for karka. The Rif says above, there's never a karka. The Rabbeinu Tam in Tosos, not in the pager, but Rabbeinu Tam in our Gemara here in Tosos, in Kedushin, Daf Mem Beis, he writes, double the price is Ona. So Rashi says, Shtus is Ona, or really Bitul Mekach. Rabbeinu Tam says, double the price would be Bitul Mekach. And the Rif says, there is no threshold. There's never Bitul Mekach. These are the three levels. Now, is there an Isser involved? So Rashi says, there's ever an Isser. It's just a question, is it Bitul Mekach or not a Bitul Mekach? But the Ramban is Mechadish in number 12 here. He says no, that there is an Isser of Ono. Look at the paragraph number 12 of Dibur Maschil, Va'ani Choshev Od Sfar. Ramban says, I think, personally, Shevadai Hama'ane Es Chaveru Ladas Over Balav Bein Metalflin Bein Bekarkos. There is an Isser Ono when it comes to overpricing land. And jump down to the next bow line. Aba Raboseinu Chidshu Bona. That's Chachamim or Mechadesh. If there's a shtus, you have to return that shtus. Ubitul mekach of Yosim Mishtus. Umizeh bilvad miyatu akarkalos. From this din alone, that's where karka was excluded. The fi she'ona behem afilu b'yeser mishtus mechila. Kimoshi mechila b'metaltim b'pachas mishtus. So what he says is, just like when it comes to metaltim, less than shtus, people are mochel. When it comes to karka, people are mochel even more than ishus. But there's always an isser. Ramban says there's always an isser. Ramban is very machmir on how to understand the isser or no. We saw it in the beginning. Ramban says there's an isser or no even for overcharging a few pennies. People are mochel though. Ramban says also there's an isser or no for karka, but there's a mechila. That's Ramban shita. There's always an isser or no. The question is, when does the mechila kick in? So for metaltlin, mechila kicks in less than ishus. For karka, it always kicks in. There's always mechila for karka. Even though there's also always an issus. That's Ramban Shita. As opposed to Rashi, who says, no, Ona is not at all relevant to Karka. There's no Isser Ona. There's only a question of Bitul Mekach or not Bitul Mekach. Where do you draw the line? So again, Rashi says, Shtus. Rabbeinu Tam says, double. And Rif says, there is no line. It's forever. There is never a Bitul Mekach when it comes to Karka. So those are a few opinions when it comes to the world of Karka. Let's finish off with the last idea of Ona. About selling some things in mida, which is measuring inches, feet, and then there's mishkal, there's weight, and then there's a quantity, there's minyan. So the Gemara says, even though when it came to ona, we had a din of it's not subject, the karka is not subject to ona. If you're giving exact square footage and it turns out you gave less than what you said, that's a violation because you said a certain amount and you're not keeping to that. If you say you're selling 100 marbles, you give them only 99 marbles, that's going to be even one marble off will be a violation. So same thing with weight. So the Ritva writes in number 13, I'm going to go, there's two basic shitas here. The Ritva writes as follows. Ritva says in number 13, the kol davar shebemido v'shebemishkal u'shebeminyan. Anything of these types of quantities, afilu pachos michdei ona, even though it's within a sixth. The din is it's chozer, says the Gemara. What does chozer mean? How do you interpret chozer? There are two ways to interpret chozer. The entire mekach, or just that amount. That so says the Ritva, chozer means legamre, entirely, v'yivatel ha-mekach, and the whole sale is nullified. V'ein omrim kana umachzer no. We don't say the sale is good, you just return that difference. You give them the extra marble that you're owed, or you take off some of the marble that you weren't given. No, the entire sale is, it's one, it's a package deal. I asked for 100 marbles, you tried to sell me 99, cancels off, the sale's off, I want my money back, here's your 99 marbles. That's same, according to the Ritva.
The sixth thing doesn't apply.
Does not apply. The Gemara says the sixth thing definitely doesn't apply, but the Gemara says it's chozer. So what's unclear is what's chozer. So Ritva says the entire sale is chozer. It doesn't exist, according to the Ritva. But then comes along the Ran and says, no, the sale's good. What's chozer is that last marble. He says that you give me that 100th marble, or you return back to me that extra 50 cents I paid for that marble. But the sale was a good sale. Those are two ways to understand it. So if that's the basics of Ona. There's the Kedushin here in the second paragraph. It's a very good introduction to Ona. Again, as I said, I'm getting excited. I think on the next series, maybe I'll do on Sunday mornings. We're doing Ribbis now. Maybe I'll start doing Ona as well. But these are the basics. So just to review quickly, just to have some idea, we start off with saying that Pachas Mishtus, everybody agrees Pachas Mishtus is a good sale. Why? So everybody agrees Midaraisa, there's an Issa Ona anytime you overcharge. But Chacham came along and tried to create parameters. Ramban says, what were the parameters? That even though it's an Isser, they said, Pachas Mishtus, people are mochel. But there's still an Isser to overcharge, but the consumer is mochel. But the Chinuch says, no, there's no Isser. Chacham said, there is no Isser when it's less than a Shus. That's how commerce works. Commerce works within a range of a sixth. You could overcharge, undercharge within that range of a sixth, and that would not be an Isser at all, as Mutter Lidchat Chila. We said, oh, if that's the case, if a person doesn't want to be mochel, if it's really taller on mechila, and I'm not being mochel on the few extra cents, maybe you have to pay me the actual market value. Says the Sma, no, I have to, I'm batel, daitel etel call them. But Yossi pointed out, I think correctly, that no, if you write it in a contract, or you made an agreement that I won't pay even a penny over, that seemingly would be, you have to keep to such stipulations. And then we discussed the karka, a few levels of karka we just discussed, and then finally this din of mida mishkal u'minyan, that's chozer. Does chozer mean legamre the sale goes through, or just that one marble that you're off? Okay, we'll stop here. Next week there is no shir, there's no, you guys can learn, I won't be here. The following week we're going to get involved in ein shlich, shliach ledvar vera, that's the next topic. And then after that we're going to get to another discussion of